one, but it's Seguin. And we are so excited. I'm so thankful to be here in Australia with you. And just, I really love your church. This is the first time here. It's my first time in Brisbane. And I can tell that you really love the Lord. And isn't the worship team, don't they do an incredible job? Like, I was so blessed this morning. Just with the presence of God that's in this place and the hunger that's in your hearts to worship God and to see God have his way in Brisbane. And it's really, I'm just very thankful to be here. We come all the way from Texas where it's really hot and humid right now. And so this is a great break in the weather for us to come at this really crisp mornings and enjoy the beautiful day that we have. And when you've been having so many record temperatures over the last, it's summertime for us, and then you really, it's a big deal. It's like going into the air conditioner when you go outside. And so we are just thankful. And, you know, we've heard a lot of great things about your church. My husband spoke at the soup kitchen a few days ago, and he just came back and he was raving about it. And what a wonderful work you're doing to minister to, yes, give yourselves a hand. That's wonderful. And so today, as I'm coming, I want to encourage you. And it seems to me that some of the things that I'm going to be talking about, you already practice, which is very encouraging. So you can encourage me today. And I love it because I'm going to talk about God's heart for the lost and how he can use us and how he used the disciples to minister to people and to see people. And I saw your bulletin, and I love it. It says, Jesus is our hope, and people are our purpose, and love is our call. That is so great, and it just so aligns with the word that God gave me for you guys this morning. So without further ado, let's just dive in. I want to start in Acts chapter 3, and I'm going to read the first 10 verses, and then we're just going to break this apart and see what God does and speaks to our hearts this morning. So it says in Acts 3, verse 1, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms, and Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who had sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Isn't that an awesome story? So good. So good. And they laid this man daily at this beautiful gate. I'm going to give you a little bit of context for what's happening. This is the early part of Acts, Acts chapter 3. And Acts is the birth of the church. And our church is actually going through a whole 3 months. This whole summer we've been reading through Acts and studying the book of Acts. And that's, I believe that's what we are to build our churches on, is the way that it was done in the book of Acts. And so what had happened is Jesus had died and rose again, and he came back to the disciples, and he commissioned them to go and make disciples of all nations. Well, then they go in Acts chapter 1 and 2 to an upper room, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them and empowers them to be witnesses, right? So this is Acts chapter 3. Now, we have Peter and John, and they're going out, and they're going and ministering. But if you think about the context of the time, you have these religious leaders. They didn't like Jesus. They didn't like what he, they, you know, they didn't believe he was the Messiah. They tried to get him all mixed up and say, oh, he's, you know, he's a heretic. And then they ended up crucifying him. So if you can imagine being a disciple in this point in time and all the things that you're battling with these religious leaders of the day. So here, Peter and John, they're going into the temple knowing probably full well that they're going into a fight. Because the religious leaders, they were coming to argue. And Peter and John are coming to share the truth of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. But these, they didn't like that. They didn't like this Old Testament theology, didn't like this New Testament way. In fact, they didn't even have a name for them yet in Acts chapter 3, the Christians. They weren't named Christians yet. That came later. And so there's this new thing coming, this new transitional period coming. And how dare they say we don't have to sacrifice sheep and goats and lambs anymore? Like, who are you to say that Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice? If you think about the priests, they're probably thinking, well, then we're out of a job, because that's what we do, is we go and we make atonement for people. And so they just really, you know, they love to argue with these so-called Christians. And it was their opinion that Jesus was a heretic, and his new doctrine that he never consulted about them was false. And so Peter and John, they didn't care. They were bold, and they were going into this place that didn't welcome them. Change for many of us is hard. So change was hard for these religious leaders. They were hard-hearted. But practically, sometimes it's hard for us to go through change. That's just nature. We get into a routine, and we get kind of going into what we do every day, and then something happens, and it changes, and it takes a minute for us to adapt. But change is part of life. And change is part of God's plan. Sometimes he wants to shake us up and bring something new to our lives. And in this story, people, they go to church for different reasons. I believe we are all here today because we want to worship God and learn about him and fellowship with other believers and glorify his name. But back here, these people, they went to church. The religious leaders and the Pharisees, they went to church to argue, to kind of puff up. And what happened with this lame man, he went to church to receive money. That's why he went to church. Peter and John went to this temple, this church, to be a blessing in Jesus' name. And isn't it interesting that the people who were supposed to have the answers were so preoccupied arguing that they forgot there were people who need hope and healing? These religious leaders, they're supposed to be the ones that provide the answers, that they overlook there are a hurting world out there. They're so preoccupied with arguing their theology. Notice that it was Peter and John together. Okay, so if you know much about the disciples, you have the 12 disciples. Well, Peter and Andrew are brothers. And Andrew was actually the one that brought Peter to Jesus. He was a bringer. He was always bringing people to Jesus. You can look through his life, in Andrew's life. He was just a bringer. Like, we need to be bringers, bringing people to church, bringing people to Jesus. And so it would be very natural, I believe, for Peter and Andrew to go out and be commissioned together, because they probably felt comfortable. They were brothers. They were used to one another. But on this occasion, you have Peter and John paired together. And what that speaks to me is sometimes we need to look out of our what we're just comfortable with and maybe widen our circle a little bit. There are people in this church that maybe you don't know yet that could be your new best friend. But you won't know that unless you get a little bit out of your comfort zone and meet them and engage in a conversation with them. And actually, there are about 22 different combinations of pairings that go out in the New Testament to minister to people. Think about it. You have Paul and Silas. They go out together. You have Paul and Barnabas. You have Luke and Paul. You have and you have John Mark and Barnabas, and you have Peter and John. There's just all these different combinations of people. They don't get stuck, because God can unite different people's faith together to do something amazing. And we'll never know that if we're just always used to the same few people. We got to widen our circle and welcome more people into our lives. And so today, I just want to pull out some thoughts from this story that's going to encourage us. And we'll see how Peter and John engaged with this man. And it said that they looked at him and they made eye contact with him. So the first thing I want to draw out is make people a priority. And that's so cool that I saw that people are your purpose. That's so true. You know, people are the only eternal investment on this earth. You think about it. You can invest in the stock market. You can invest in real estate. You can invest in all kinds of different things. But when you go to be with the Lord, that's going to stay here. You can't take it with you. But when you invest with a life, when you invest with somebody's soul and pour into that, that's storing up treasures in heaven. That's the only eternal investment that we can have on this earth. And they understood this. So we need to not go through life with tunnel vision. It's very easy to do. When you get into a routine and you are busy and maybe you're stressed at work and you have a lot going on with your kids and whatever else kind of things just bog you down, we can have tunnel vision and we don't see people. Jesus is calling us all to see people, to open our eyes and see people, to see them the way he sees them. Peter and John, they were going to a scheduled religious function. If you remember, it said it was at the ninth hour. They were going to a scheduled prayer meeting. And we sometimes can be so, like, bound by our schedule that we don't notice people around us. And so they could have just been like, no, it's 8:59. I got to be there at 9 o'clock. I can't stop and talk to this man. They, you know, we get along the path and we're like, no, I can't be interrupted. But God sometimes sets interruptions as opportunities for a miracle. And in this situation, this was not an interruption. It was an opportunity. You know, 85% of the miracles that Jesus did were interruptions. He was just along the way. They were going maybe from a prayer meeting to a church meeting, and they were interrupted. Think about the woman with the issue of blood. She was an interruption. She pressed through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment and interrupted him because he was on his way somewhere. And then mercy flowed, and she was healed because of that interruption. And that is what sometimes, and a lot of times in our lives, it will be an interruption and it will be an inconvenience. But God has called us to see it as an opportunity. Make your life flexible enough for God to move miraculously, because he wants to move miraculously through you and through me. So they had an appointment, but it wasn't with the big people on the inside of the temple. It was with this man, lame from birth, and they didn't realize it, but they were led by the Holy Spirit, and we have to be led by the Holy Spirit. It says in James 1, verse 27, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Isn't that awesome? Basically, that's saying religion is people. Religion that is true worship of God. It involves people. It's loving and caring for people, to visit orphans and widows, to take care of the least of these. You got to be a noticer of people. There is nobody on this planet that is insignificant to God. Nobody. This man probably thought he was insignificant because he was just there every day for 40 years, every day. And I bet people walked by him and thought of him as being insignificant. Like, oh, that's just that man again, but not to God. And they were just meeting somebody. Peter and John had just met this man, but God already knew him. God created him and had him there to interact for such a time as this. And so we have to notice people. The second thought I want to pull out is that we need to leave people better off than when they met us. We are to leave people better off. That's the mark of a Christian. And it's not that we go around and say, well, you know, I'm a Christian, so I have to act this way. When you're a Christian and you're abiding in God, you're going to bear fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit is what causes us to leave people better off. And if you think about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control, a lot of those are for us. Like, I think peace, I benefit from that fruit. I need that fruit. Self-control, yes, I benefit. But love, patience, kindness, all of those, other people benefit. When I'm walking in the fruit of the Spirit and I'm kind to people, it's their benefit. And it's mine too. Have you ever been around people that just make you feel great? They're always encouraging. They're always saying, oh, you look awesome today. Oh, you can do it. You can conquer the world. That's the kind of people that we need to be. The Bible says that they knew they were Christians by their love for one another. When they were talking about the disciples, they knew. They could tell the difference that these people are because they loved one another, because they had fruit, and they left each other better off. Okay, so I live in Texas, like I said, down in the south part of the United States. We're kind of near Mexico, about 3 or 4 hours from the border of Mexico. And so where we live, we have a lot of awesome Mexican food restaurants. Do you have some good Mexican food? Yeah. So we have a lot. Like in our city alone, there's probably 20 that I know of. And then there's probably 10 other ones that I don't know of. Little holes in the wall, you know. And it's good Mexican food. And so for me, the mark of a great Mexican food restaurant is when I leave the restaurant, I still smell like the restaurant. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes you have to kind of time when you go eat. If you're going to go somewhere, you're like, I don't want to smell like Mexican food. But that's when you know you really had a good Mexican food meal. Well, that's what it's like when people are around us. We should leave them smelling like something. Not Mexican food, particularly. But leave them smelling like something. Is it a good aroma that you put off on people? Or is it stinky, with stinky attitudes? That people are around you and there's bitterness coming out, or there's negativity coming out, then they leave your presence and they feel defeated. That's not what God's called us to. It says in Psalm 23, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you know that verse? I loved this when I learned about this. That surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. The actual word for follow is pursue. Goodness and mercy. Because I thought about it as just like something following me around. But no, they're pursuing. Goodness and mercy, they want to tackle you. It's pursuing you all the days of your life. And when you have goodness and mercy pursuing you, you're leaving behind a wake of grace. When we realize that, we're leaving people better off. When I was growing up, I played softball. I don't really know if that's popular here. Fast pitch softball with the windmill and So good. I was like, I don't know if they'll relate to this because your football is different than our football, and you have rugby, and that's brutal. Oh my goodness. My son is going to be in the eighth grade, and he plays football, American football. And so as a mom, I'm like, oh, my gosh, he's going to get hurt. But I can't imagine what these rugby players' mothers, I mean, at least we have a lot of padding and our helmets are bigger and stuff. But anyway, growing up, I played softball, and I was a pitcher, and I did pretty well. We won state champions, and I got All-State and got a lot of awards in high school for that. But my coach would always laugh at me because I do not run very fast. I'm a slow runner. I could hit the ball pretty well. I could even hit it way out in the outfield. But it would be really good if I maybe got to second base. Because I just, you know, I'm running. And he's like, come on, come on, come on. And I'm just not fast. And so we tried a lot of things. I tried running down hills because somebody said that that's going to help. Running up hills because it builds your muscle. I mean, I just tried everything. And none of it seemed to work. And then I got into this little season where I was trying mentally to make my legs go faster. And so I told myself that things were chasing me. I was like, okay, so I'm up to bat, and when I hit it, I have a snake coming after me. And so I'd hit the ball, and I'm like, there's a snake, and I'm trying, and I don't know that it really helped. But the ninja is throwing stars at me. I've got to run, and it didn't work. It really didn't. And so, but when that is the picture I got when I read this verse about surely goodness and mercy following me. It's not those bad things that are following me. When I'm walking with the Lord, when I'm serving the Lord, when I'm pleasing the Lord, it's goodness and mercy that's chasing me down. And I'm just going to, you know, when you walk in front of someone and you stop and they run into you, maybe a few, sometimes I'm just stop and let goodness and mercy come and run into me a little bit. So it's good. It's good to serve the Lord. And we have it really good. There's always something to be thankful for. And when we walk with that thankfulness, other people see that. And they will ask you, why? Why are you in such a good mood? You're going through something really hard. How are you happy right now? You can say, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by the Spirit. And you can say, it's Jesus that's in me. And then you can point them to Christ. And so we leave behind love and gentleness and grace. And the third thing here in the story is that we are to be a carrier of Jesus' name. This was actually the first time that the name of Jesus was used by a disciple for healing. Because if you think about it, before they had Jesus, and he didn't go around saying, in my name, you know, in Jesus' name. So this was the first time that these people, they are now carriers of the Holy Spirit and the name of Jesus. And we sang it this morning. What a beautiful name it is. What a powerful name it is. It's the name of Jesus that breaks the yokes of bondage. It's the name of Jesus that brings healing, that is glorified above every other name on this earth. And we, you and I, are carriers of that name. What an honor. He was dependent. This man, this lame man, had been carried all of his life. He couldn't walk. So he was dependent on someone to carry him all of his life and set him at this temple. If you think about it, for 40 years, think about all the people he saw walk by him. I'm sure there obviously were people that gave to him, because if not, he wouldn't have come back to the same place every day, right? So he was pretty successful in getting those donations. But like every day, somebody had to pick him up and carry him to that temple for 40 years. And he had a system in place, and it was working for him pretty well, right? I don't know. The Bible's not clear about who carried him there. It could have been, you know, people that loved him and wanted to help him. Or it could have been people that were enabling him. It could have been people that were actually making money off of him and carrying him there. Do you have people in your life that are constantly carrying you back to where you used to be? That they're not carrying you to grow in Christ, but they're taking you back? If we do, we need to evaluate those relationships in our lives, because we need people around us that will not just allow us to go back to those old places, go back to and live in the past. We need people to bring us to something new in the Lord. Look for people who carry you closer to God and not farther away from them. He saw something different. They made eye contact. And if you think about a lame beggar, when he gets eye contact, that's big. He's like expecting. It said that he expected something from them. And they gave him something. It wasn't what he expected. It was way better. They gave him Jesus' name. The church is just new. And the name of Jesus is going forth, and it's breaking down walls for people. And he was expecting something, but God did way more than he expected. And that's kind of my last point today, is that expect God to do something beautiful. You know, sometimes we limit God. We can't limit God. God is limitless. But we limit the activity of God in our lives because we have low expectations. We don't dream big. We don't pray big. God is calling us to pray big, bold prayers for him to move in our hearts. And we need to expect him to do something beautiful. It says in Psalm 16:11, this is the CEB version. I just love the way it says it. You teach me the way of life. In your presence is total celebration. Beautiful things are always in your right hand. Isn't that a great scripture? Beautiful things are always in God's right hand. He wants to bless us. He wants to bring us through hard times to be more fruitful and stronger on the other side. So this man was expecting money. But what they gave him was way more than that. It might not look like what you think it would. He would probably be happy with money. Like, he would have gotten and then missed something amazing. So he didn't get what he wanted, actually. He got what he didn't even know he wanted. And isn't that like God sometimes? We think we need something, and God has something else planned for us. We just have to be open to that. It's interesting that it talks about how his ankles and his feet got strengthened. So it was really, if you think about an ankle bone, it's a small bone. But that small bone kept him lame his whole life. And sometimes in our lives, it's small things in our lives that hold us back. It could be a small, like maybe attitude or a character defect that we're not willing to release. We're holding on to, or maybe even a small sin that we think, oh, it's just something small that, you know, nobody, it's just fine. But it's holding you back from being all that God has called you to be. And God often asks people to do things that they can't do. He says, rise up to the man. He says, rise up, take up your mat, and walk. The man can't rise up, can he? But if it's that faith that they start and God heals them. Or he'll tell a blind man, open your eyes and see. Well, a blind man can't see, but it's through that act of faith that God heals that blind man. Or remember the man with the withered hand. He says, reach out your hand. I mean, if it were me, I'd probably reach out the good hand because I can. But he was saying, reach out your hand. Well, he physically cannot reach out his hand, but God wants him to do what he can't, so that God can do what he can in his life. And so this man, it says after he was healed, these people, they recognized him as the lame man. They didn't even know his name. All they knew him for was his problem. And don't let people define you based on your limitations or your problem, and don't define other people based on that. Allow people room to improve and room to grow. And he was labeled based on his problem, but the name of Jesus overtook that name. The name of Jesus is bigger than lame man's name. And the only name he had for him was the name of his problem. But God saw him as a son of God. He saw him as a child of God. And immediately the healing happened. Something that he had been struggling with for 40 years in a second was changed. In a second, in the presence of God, can change everything. The presence of God is so powerful. One moment, one word from God, one prayer can change everything. It can open up the heavens for you. I want to encourage you today, never stop pressing in and expecting God to do something beautiful, because he can and he wants to in your life. And he wants to use you to bring change and to bring the name of Jesus to other people. Now, if you can see the picture, the man's healed. He leaps up. And it's a progression. It says he went leaping. He was walking first, then leaping, then praising God. So it was a progression. It was an immediate healing and then a progression. He started walking, and then he started leaping, and he was praising God the whole way. These people in the temple, think about what I said in the beginning about them arguing. The Pharisees and they like to argue about, oh, this new way is trying to take over and change everything. When they see this man and they saw what happened to him and they see that he's healed because of the name of Jesus, do you think they have an argument anymore? Their mouths are shut. What are they going to say? The proof is in the pudding. Have you ever heard that phrase? We say that in Texas. The proof is there. When you're walking and God is doing something in your life, you don't have to argue about it. You just walk according to his word and be confident in who you are in Jesus, and he will do the rest. Jesus didn't say a word when he was in front of Pilate. He spoke not a word. Because to speak a word, he didn't need to. He was the Lord. And he was who he said he was. And so he didn't have to argue with them. He had to fulfill his purpose on this earth. And so, what are you today? Who can you relate to in the story? Maybe you can relate to the lame man. I know I've been there. Not physically, but just stuck in my life. I can relate to him. I can relate to wanting to go to the next level and not knowing how. Can you relate to Peter and John? Maybe. God wants to equip you and use you to bring change in people, to bring the name of Jesus to people. Do you relate to the religious leaders? You're skeptical about it all. Whoever you are in the story, I believe each one of us can relate to each person in the story. And there is a lame man in each of us, but there's also a leader in each of us that God is wanting to call forth. He's wanting to take you by the hand and lift you up and set you free and leave you walking and leaping and praising God for all the great things that he has done. And he wants to touch us today. So I want to pray. I want us all to pray to the Lord that he is going to do something in this last moments here today, and that he wants to move on our hearts, and he wants to encourage us and change us and to anoint us to be his carriers of his name into the broken and hurting world. So let's bow our heads this morning. God, I thank you that your word is life, Lord. I thank you that you are speaking to us this morning, Lord, and I thank you for this lame man's example, that you touched him with a word. You touched him and you chose to use Peter and John as just a vessel of your goodness and of your healing, Lord. And this man now starts passing all the people that have passed him all of his life. He's running past them, and he's proclaiming the goodness of your glory. He's proclaiming the healing that you brought him, Lord. God, I thank you for your goodness, Lord. God, and I thank you that you're not just active in the Old Testament. You're active right now. You're active in our time. You're active in our lives right now. You want to bring this healing. Like it said, a miracle can happen, not yesterday, not 10 years ago, not hundreds of years ago. A miracle can happen now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we lift your name high this morning. We lift your name above all names. We lift your name above the name of cancer. And there is no name that can rise above the name of Jesus. We lift your name above depression. Jesus' name is higher above every name on this earth. Any label, Jesus' name rises above it. We thank you, God, for your goodness, Lord. Just open your hearts up to the Lord. And tell him to come in and change your heart and heal you, your brokenness, Lord. Thank you, Father. We worship you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. I don't know, just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. If there's anybody in here that you want to be not only a carrier of the name of Jesus, you want to be a Christian for the first time. You've never made that decision. And you want to say, today is the day that it changes. Today is the day I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I believe that he died on the cross for my sins and that he rose again so that I can have new life. So if that's you, if you would raise your hand, I just want to pray with you. Believe that God is going to do something in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You are a good God. We love you, Lord. God, I pray for New Hope Church, Lord, that you would allow them to be this Acts church, God. You would allow them to walk as Peter and John and to see those around them in their life, to see those around them that they can, Lord, with a prophetic hearing, know what to say, when to say it, Father God. That it's not us speaking, but it's your spirit flowing through us so that we can make an impact for your name and your glory. We give you glory in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.